taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
You know, here at the Constitution Study, we are not the first to break news. We don't break stories. Because this isn't a show about the news or stories. It's an analysis show. It's when we take what's going on and we try to look at it and analyze it from a constitutional point of view. That means we're not Johnny on the spot. We're not the first ones to be in the news, but we tend to take a longer-term look at what's going on. So no, they weren't the first. We weren't right there at the breaking of the so-called Ministry of Information, Ministry of Truth, I should say. And when I talked about that yesterday, hopefully you understand why. It takes time to gather information. It takes time to look at details. And it takes time to ponder what's being said, what actually exists, and what it really means. So please don't be surprised that you know, when something new happens, we're not the first on the spot. Well, today is a classic example. See, today I'm talking about, or I'm going to start with the question of the leaked draft of a Supreme Court opinion. I'm going to go into a deeper analysis of the opinion once it's actually released. I may do a deep dive in the draft, but I certainly will do one when it's released because I think it's an important case. But we weren't right on the spot because I wanted to take time to analyze and ponder and bring that here to you today. So welcome, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel. You've joined me here at the Constitution Study. And today's theme, we're going to be talking about being ruled by Washington. And I'm going to start with this, we'll call it a brouhaha, over the draft of a Supreme Court opinion in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. Now, you may remember this is the Mississippi case that challenged, challenges Roe v. Wade and Casey, the bedrock legislation that those who are pro-abortion have place their standard on. This is the proof that you know, we get all the nonsense about, well, you know, abortion is a right. It is not a right. The Constitution never said there's a right. There is no right to abortion. I have a whole lot of issues. I've talked about Roe v. Wade. I've written about Roe v. Wade. I am interested to see what the court is going to say, because it's as it stands now, it looks like it's a 5-4 court. So it looks like a highly divided court, but we're not sure yet. Again, this is just a draft. But what I want to talk about today is, why was the draft leaked? Now, as of the recording of this episode, we don't have details. We don't know who leaked it, and no one's made a statement. No one's taken credit for this. But I think based on the reaction, the reason this was leaked is going to be fairly obvious. It was leaked, most likely, to put political pressure on the court to change its mind. That's right. This is a political influence. This is nothing to do with the law. This is an attempt to apply political pressure. Well, just look at the reaction. Demonstrations in front of the court. Everyone from politicians to media to everyday people just vilifying the court going absolutely crazy for what, as what I've read so far. Again, I haven't gone through the whole thing, but what I've gone through so far, the summaries that I've read, the summaries I've seen, it basically saying, well, by the way, much of what I said before, and that Roe was really badly, really badly drafted opinion. Roe decided that the privacy aspect of the Fourth Amendment, that the government has no say in the decision to get an abortion, And that superseded the due process requirement that life be protected, which makes no sense. I find it absolutely amazing as people are saying, well, you know, the court's being politicized. Yeah, it's being politicized by the person who leaked this to apply political pressure. I believe it was one senator said that now the court is legislating from the bench. No, it's actually Roe v. Wade that was legislating from the bench. As I understand it, Justice Alito, who is authoring this opinion, said, you know, it is up to the elected offices. It was not the role, proper role of the court to get in the middle of that. Therefore, it was wrong. So there's a lot. And again, I'm going to go into a deeper dive into this and bring you some more analysis. But I wanted to get to focus on this idea of why. See, we already know that Chief Justice Roberts is a squish. He sticks his finger in the air and he goes wherever the politics takes him. Remember, this is the gentleman that rewrote the Affordable Care Act in order to make him feel like it was constitutional. That, you know, a penalty is not a penalty, it's a tax. Of course, it falls under the taxing power, but there's no taxing power. The taxing power of Congress does not include medical insurance. The taxing power of Congress is limited to paying the debts of the United States, providing for the common defense of the United States, and the general welfare of the United States, not of the states or of the people. So he just rewrote it because that was the political pressure that was being applied. So this is quite probably intended primarily to try and get Roberts or one of the other justices to change their vote so that this draft never makes it to light. Now, there's another interesting possibility. And I subscribe to a service that where reporters can get input for their articles. And the day after this draft was leaked, they were already asking, is this, you know, how is this going to impact the credibility of the court? How's it going to impact the politicization of the court? And how is this going to impact Justice Thomas and the efforts to get to have him removed or recused because of the activities of his wife? So there's another possibility. But what we see is, yes, this is, so far, and again, this is still news. There's still going to be more information coming out. So far, all I see this is a political hatchet job. Now, the interesting thing is, what is the court going to do? Now, again, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe it's a violation of the ethical standards of the Supreme Court. These debates, these discussions, the drafts are supposed to be held privately by the court for the purpose of allowing an open and free discussion to avoid the political impact that this leaked draft is creating. But I've heard some say that it may actually be a criminal offense as well. So my immediate question is somebody going to investigate this? Is someone going to find out, or at least attempt to find out, who leaked this and see them punished, either fired or potentially criminally prosecuted? Because whether you think this is a good decision or not, the issue is, if the courts cannot discuss and debate their opinions, if justices in the court cannot discuss and debate their opinions in private, then the court truly is just another political arm. It's not a court of justice. It's not even a court of law. It's a court of politics. And is that really where you want to seek a redress for your grievance, as a court that is driven by politics, not by law or by justice? See, I looked at this as an incredibly damaging event. It's damaging to the credibility of the court, but it's also damaging to the credibility of the federal government. Because now, look at it from my standpoint. Now, one of two things, well, there's several things that could happen, but let's say that this draft, relatively unchanged, that the votes don't change based on what we see in this draft, and that 5-4, the court overturns its opinion in Roe and in Casey, and sends the question of abortion back to the states. Well, you're immediately going to have another call to pack the court, to put people with the right mindset in the court to get what we want. It's already happened. You've already seen it. It's already come out of the politicians, come out of Senator, I think Senator Markey and a couple of others are already calling for packing the Supreme Court because it looks like they're not going to get the answer they want. It politicized the court. It further politicized the court, right? But let's say one of the votes changed. Let's say just one vote changes, and now it's 5-4 upholding Roe. Well, it just proves that all you have to do to persuade the court is leak information. It's like paying a ransom to a terrorist. All you do is invite more terrorism. If you reward the people who have leaked this document by changing the vote of the justices, you've rewarded them for what they've done. You're just encouraging them to do more. I responded to one of the requests by a reporter specifically asking about the politicization of the court, the impact on Justice Thomas. And my response was, I believe that's exactly what the person who leaked this document wanted. They wanted everybody manipulating the court and manipulating the question of Justice Roberts. You are giving them exactly what they asked for. Meaning, in the future, I expect to see more leaked documents. Unless the Justice Department investigates this, unless the court allows us to be investigated to find out who leaked this and then allow the appropriate punishment, whether it be administrative or legal, you will see more of this. If you aren't getting what you want, simply take it to the streets to try and influence the vote. Just think of how much of your life is impacted by an opinion of the federal courts. Think about it. The Affordable Care Act, the Americans with Disability Act, Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton, Casey, all of these. How much of your life is impacted by that? What good are laws if they are not applied as they're written, but applied based on political pressure? Imagine, do you want to live in a world where Roe is valid one day and invalid the next and invalid again? Imagine, look at the policies on the southern border. Bush had a fairly weak policy, but he had a policy. Obama's policy was open the floodgates. Trump was build a wall. Biden was open the floodgates. Imagine every few years flip-flopping our policy on the border because we elected a president from a different party. Now imagine that same process in courts of law, where whether or not the Constitution is applied as written depends on how many of the justices were appointed by which political party. That's not justice, ladies and gentlemen. That's not even tyranny. That is anarchy, where laws don't matter. It's whoever has the most power rules. If you can get enough power, your word is law. Is that the country you wish to live in? See, this is what happens when we do two things. One, we allow ourselves to be ruled by Washington, D.C. Notice, I didn't say governed, I said ruled, where the laws are secondary to the political machinations, to the whim of a president or a court, overrules your elected representative, overrules the laws that have been legally, duly passed and adopted. This, ladies and gentlemen, is anarchy. The only difference is, instead of you voting directly for the anarchy, you're hiring people to be the anarchists for you. And in anarchy, the biggest, the strongest, or the most persuasive always wins. and your rights disappear. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. So yes, there is, and I'm sure by between the time I've recorded this and it's broadcast, or if you're listening to this on podcast, things have changed. Take some time, please, and think about what this means. Don't simply, you know, jump at, oh God, it's great. Oh my God, it's awful. Don't listen simply to the talking heads and the pundits and the politicians. Stop and think about what it means. If you want to have a private discussion, but every time you know, someone disagrees with you, they just make it public, how can you ever have a truly honest and open debate again, knowing that anything you say might suddenly be public fodder for those who disagree with you? Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, please head over to healthycell.com. Now, if you're like me, especially when I travel, I have a hard time sleeping. My wife frequently has a hard time falling asleep. Well, we've tried a lot of things, but there's one thing we really like, and that is Healthy Cell's REM sleep. It helps us fall asleep and stay asleep so we can sleep better, wake up refreshed and ready to go. And it's a pill-free supplement that supports all four stages of sleep. And again, you can find it at healthycell.com. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, they will give you 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com, put your entire order together. Sure, I'm talking about REM sleep, but they have lots of other products. When you check out, use the code Out Loud. That tells them you listen to America Out Loud, and they will give you a 20% discount off your first order. So once again, go to healthycell.com, find any of these products, use Out Loud at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. You know, in the first segment, we talked about specifically the leaked draft, and that kind of set me up for what I'm going to do in segments 2 and 3, and that is to look at how we've allowed ourselves to be ruled by Washington. Now, for example, Texas passed a heartbeat law that said abortion would be illegal once a heartbeat was detected, except to save the life of the mother. I'm trying to remember, I think that's got it right. Well, of course, that got challenged in Texas court, and that also got challenged in federal court because, you know, federal's better. It's bigger. It's more powerful. Well, a federal appeals court, well, they had a rather firm statement. They said, having received the ruling of the Texas Supreme Court that named official defendants may not enforce the provision of the Texas Heartbeat Act, this court remands the case with instructions to dismiss all challenges to the private enforcement provisions of the statute and to consider whether plaintiffs have standing challenge. So let me turn that into English for you. One of the unique things about the Texas Heartbeat Act was government officials are not allowed to file suit. There's a couple. One, it's a civil suit. It's not a criminal act. And Texas officials are not allowed to actually sue. It has to be private individuals and organizations. Now, they did this for one very simple reason. Roe v. Wade. You see, in Roe v. Wade, Wade was a Texas official. So in that opinion, the court found that Texas could not criminalize abortion under most those circumstances. So Texas said, okay, well, then we're not going to criminalize it. We'll make it a civil penalty. But the other problem is, okay, if the court says that Texas cannot prosecute these, well, tell you what, we'll let the private individuals do this. Now, I've talked before about this and my reservations about how that law is written. But let's face it, this law was written that way intentionally to respond to the Roe v. Wade opinion. Right? Roe v. Wade, the court told the state of Texas, here are things you cannot do. Texas found a way to do it without violating what the court actually said. Of course, this drove people nuts. So one of the things that suits that were filed was whether or not private individuals could enforce the provisions, meaning could a private citizen or a private organization sue a person for providing abortions once a heartbeat was detected. And so this goes to a federal lawsuit. And the judge says, no, we're dismissing the charges. Why? Well, you see, the Texas Supreme Court said, listen, no Texas official can enforce this. So you can't say that Texas doesn't have the right, that Texas is violating the rights, because they're saying Texas isn't doing this. They're allowing the citizens to do this. Right? So they remand this case to lower courts, going back to the lower court saying, listen, understand, we're telling you, dismiss all the challenges to private enforcement provisions of the statute. In other words, any challenge to the private enforcement of this, federal court says, nope, we shouldn't, that's not a violation of the Constitution of the United States. Furthermore, they said lower courts were to consider whether or not plaintiffs had standing to even challenge this. Standing is a term of, do you have, are you a person that can actually bring a lawsuit? Are you an organization that can actually bring a lawsuit? Do you have the standing to actually legitimately bring a lawsuit? So that's, again, very interesting. But notice, once again, we have a federal court telling a state how to handle their laws. Now, in this case, I tend to agree with it, right? That they don't have standing. This does not violate. Again, I have my issues with how the law is written, but that what the law does not violate federal law, and it doesn't violate the U.S. Constitution. So, but again, we had to get a federal court to say that. Now, there's another case where a federal court jumped in. See, there's been this whole brouhaha about Title 42. And it was actually a section in Title 42 that allowed the illegal immigrants to be deported immediately if they were considered if they're a safety risk to public health. This was done early in the COVID scaredemic under Trump. So now we have President Biden says, no, we're going to let this lapse. We're not going to do this anymore. Well, a federal judge out of Louisiana issued a decision in which it read, it is hereby ordered that for the next 14 days, unless this court acts to extend or shorten that period, defendants, including DHS and all of its subdivisions, agencies, and employees, are hereby enjoined and restrained from implementing the termination order, including increases over pre-termination order levels in processing of migrants from Northern Triangle countries through Title 8 proceedings rather than under Title 42 orders, and are further enjoined and restrained from reducing processing of migrants pursuant to Title 42. Again, in English, he says, listen, 14 days, I'm putting a restraining order for 14 days. You are not allowed to terminate Title 42, and you're not allowed to simply shuffle people from a Title 42 action to a Title 8 action as when it comes to deportation. I want you to think about this for just a second, because if you look at the Constitution of the United States, you do realize that the power to regulate immigration is not delegated to the United States. Congress can set uniform rules for naturalization, but nothing about immigration, which means, according to the 10th Amendment, immigration is still a state issue. But once again, we have two groups. You have the courts, you have the president, and they are fighting over who is going to rule our country. Will laws be enforced or will they not be enforced? See, Title 42 is a law. The question then becomes, does the president simply get to set aside a law he doesn't like? Not one that he's found unconstitutional, one he doesn't like. We were talking about this the other day on our Constitution study. I still have the live Constitution study going. Find out more at constitutionstudy.com/study. The question is, what are the actual powers of the president? The president is required to faithfully execute the laws of the United States, and unless he finds a law unconstitutional, he is required by his oath of office and by law to faithfully execute those laws. So this is what happens. This is why I say we're dealing with anarchy, because now instead of the people and our electing representatives to pass laws that the other branches enforce, we now have a fight over who's actually going to effectively make the law. Who's going to decide, you know, what laws get enforced and what laws don't, and under what circumstances? It truly is just, it's chaos. You know, we've got a federal judge that says, nope, Biden, your Department of Homeland Security can't do this. So what happens when Biden's Department of Homeland Security says, so sorry, we work for the president. President says do it anyway. What's stopping them? It's not like the judge is going to go start arresting people in DHS for following the rules, following their boss. Sure, maybe he can have a case and make him find them in contempt. It's now a power play. This is not the government that our founders created. It's what it's devolved to because we, the American people, refuse to do our job as citizens to control the government that we created through the states. Now, while I agree with some of these judges' opinions, not all of them I think support the constitution or support constitutionally. Well, for example, this ridiculous kangaroo court, the January 6th Select Committee in the House, they're issuing subpoenas left, right, and center. One of the ones they issued was for a group of documents from the Republican National Committee, or for vendors from them and some of their data. Well, the RNC challenged that. They sued. And recently, a federal judge said that the subpoena the House panel issued, was legitimate. Well, I have quite a few problems with that. Now, reading from the judge's opinion, he said that the Select Committee's authorizing resolution established its procedures, including those procedures relating to the issuance of subpoenas. All right, first of all, the Constitution does not delegate to the Congress subpoena power. You won't find the term in there. Now, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says Congress shall have the ability to make laws necessary and proper for putting forth into effect its powers, as long as all the powers of the United States. But here's the problem. So can under that, you know, Congress passed a rule, House Resolution 503, Rule 11, that permits House committees to issue investigative subpoenas. All right, here's problem number one. Congress does not have an investigative authority. Congress legislates. They don't execute. Not only is it not a power of the Congress to investigate potential breaches of the law, it is a crime for them to do so because they are usurping the power of the executive. So this whole idea of a House investigative committee, unless they are investigating something for the purpose of making a law, They have no investigative power. It is not Congress's responsibility. It is a, therefore, that act, that the House Resolution, I think it's 503, that created the January 6th subcommittee, is itself void. It's a violation. It's repugnant to the Constitution. But it goes on, reading a little later, on February 23rd, 2022, Chairman Thompson issued a subpoena to Salesforce, Inc. The subpoena ordered Salesforce to produce documents by March 9th and testify at the select committee in a deposition on March 16th. In a cover letter accompanying the subpoena, Chairman Thompson laid out the select committee's rationale for issuing it to Salesforce. According to the letter, the information provided to the select committee and public reporting indicate that during the 2020 election cycle, Salesforce provided its services to President Donald Trump's re-election campaign and to the RNC, and that between November 3rd, 2020 and January 6th, 2021, the Trump campaign and the RNC jointly sent out hundreds of emails to supporters using Salesforce's own tools. The letter cited public reports characterizing the tenor of the emails as inflammatory, with nearly every email suggesting that the election was fraudulent, that Democrats had stolen the election, and that Congress needed to be pressured to overturn the results to keep Trump in power. The letter also stated that those same reports noted that the early email asked supporters to donate money. Okay, time out for a second. Look at the rationale for this subpoena. You working for Trump sent out hundreds of emails to his supporters. You actually were the method by which Trump communicated, the Trump campaign communicated with his supporters. And we don't like the way you did that. The tenor was inflammatory. Well, you know what, Chairman Thompson? There's this little thing called the First Amendment that says you cannot pass a law that infringes on a person's freedom of speech. Is there any evidence, any probable cause that a crime was instigated in those emails? Not according to the letter. Yes, they sent out things that the election was fraudulent. I wouldn't say the entire election was fraudulent, but there were fraudulently appointed electors. There were at least five states that fraudulently voted for president. They fraudulently appointed electors to vote for president. It claimed that the Democrats had stolen the election. Well, gee, is that any different than when the Democrats claimed the Republicans stole the election when Trump was elected? This is retaliation. This is they couldn't censor beforehand. This is pure retaliation. This is an infringement on freedom of speech. It's an infringement on a contract between the Trump campaign and Salesforce for the sole purpose of a political hatchet job. Yet according to this judge, the Congress has the subpoena power to issue investigatory subpoenas to investigate a crime that is not in their purview and to squelch information that is the current prevailing party finds distasteful. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is a criminal act by the judge. This judge simply ignored the law, ignored the Constitution, and said, I'm going to support what they're doing because I don't like it. But I don't know why he did it. What I know is he didn't follow the law. He certainly didn't follow the Constitution or his oath to support it. So we have, again, which oligarch gets the case? One that believes in the Constitution or one that believes the ends justify the means? In either direction. In other words, Democrat, Republican, progressive, conservative, it doesn't matter. If the laws don't matter, then you no longer live in a free republic. Because the laws your representatives created, including the laws that the supreme law of the land, doesn't matter if it's not applied. And if people are allowed to continue doing this, this is why America is becoming a socialist nation. Because the American people are sitting back and watching while their rights, their liberty, their ability to self-govern is being stolen right out from under their nose. And all most of them can do is tisk, tisk, tisk and whine and complain on social media. This is no longer the United States of America. These are the subject states of America. We have literally given up our sovereignty to be ruled by a bunch of battling bureaucratic oligarchs out of Washington, D.C. And we are leaving this Marxist mess to our children because we are too afraid or too lazy or just too apathetic to actually stand up and exercise our rights, our responsibility, our duties as American citizens to control the government we created. This is not Biden's fault. It's not Trump's fault. It's not this judge's fault. The fault ultimately lies with the American people that have sat back and done nothing while this country was stolen. So what can you do about it? You don't have to sit there and just take it. What can you do about it? Well, the first thing you can do is get some information and then share that information. Well, for example, this radio program, the Constitution Study, is heard 5 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio on the iHeartRadio Network. You can hear this. You can get this information. You can listen on our media players, on our Apple, Android, and Alexa apps. You can go to AmericaOutLoud.com to find all the links and share them. Share them with friends. Share them with family. Share them with social media. Let other people know what's going on and what we can do. And I'll talk more about that when we get back from this break.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. There's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chance of getting sick. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray, provides an additional invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You know, before going to break, I talked about how you can listen live to this program. Well, this program also comes out in podcasts. And that is a wonderful way to go back, listen to past episodes, find past stories, and share them as well. We need to share this data because many of the American people think they can do nothing but sit back and take it. And it's time we start realizing that we, the people, ordained and established the Constitution that created the federal government. We, the people, ordained and established the constitutions that created our states, that they have their only just power comes from our consent. They work for us, not the other way around. So when we find out that Biden's Department of Justice, in league with many liberal activist groups, started a legal assault on Georgia's election integrity law, tried to dictate to the state of Georgia, the sovereign state of Georgia, how to run their own elections last year. We sat back, many people sat back and let it happen. Now they're trying to cover up what they've done, the content of their communications, so that we the people don't know what our elected officials, our employees in Washington, D.C. are doing. Are you going to sit back and let that happen? Not just in Georgia, but the rest of the country as well. See, if Georgia stands up and says, hey, you are meddling in our elections, we won't follow what you're saying, and if you continue to do so, we'll file charges against you. See, if just Georgia does that, they're standing alone. But if a majority of the other states stand with them and saying, yes, what are you doing? Why is the DOJ investigating Georgia's election law? Where's the criminal complaint? Why are you working with biased advocacy groups in an attempt to meddle in the process the Republican process of a state. I mean, look at it. The Democrats are going bananas because Trump campaign actually used Salesforce to do this, but nobody seems to give a crap that the Biden Justice Department is working with advocacy groups to promote a particular point of view to interfere with the elections in a sovereign state. See, now the Constitution says Congress can pass laws adjusting some of the rules. It says nothing about a Justice Department being used as a bully to intimidate a state to comply with their wishes. See, this is the other side of that oligarchy. We're ruled. A state says, here are the laws we're going to follow. They're perfectly constitutional, but nope. The DOJ gets sicked on them because, well, it doesn't meet with the political party that currently sits in the White House. Or President Biden issuing an emergency waiver for E15 gasoline. You know, we limit our drilling. We didn't stop drilling. We limited our drilling. They shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. They pulled all the sanctions against the Russian pipeline. Well, until Russia invaded Ukraine. They've done everything they do to constrict the flow of oil. And now when prices are high, he says, I know, we'll just, President, by decree, tell you how much ethanol you can put in your gasoline. How can you call yourself a free people if a man in Washington can tell you whether or not you can have ethanol and how much ethanol you can have in your gasoline? This is a tyrant. This is a dictator. Sure, he was elected, but he's still an elected dictator. What are we doing about it? Or what about President Biden saying, you know what, he's just going to throw away $238 million of your money. If to students who went to beauty schools that have failed. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. See, in 2016, the U.S. Department of Education, an illegal agency, right? The Department of Education legally does not exist because that's not a power delegated to the United States. But they stripped Maranello Schools of Beauty of their federal funding because of pervasive and widespread misconduct. Now, according to the Department of Education, this meant that many of their students did not have the skills necessary to pass state licensing tests and receive the promised return on their educational investment. So the federal government is going to take your money and piss it away. They're not going to sue the school saying, wait a second, you fraudulently took money, you did this. No. You, the American taxpayer, are expected to pay off the debts for people who went to a school when the school failed. Not because of a law, but because President Biden wishes it so. The dictator in chief simply says, oh, you know what? If you went to a beauty school that failed, you weren't able to get the skills you needed, the American people will pay you off. We'll make you whole. We'll take it. We'll just piss away more American taxpayer money. Just think of the circular firing squad that is. The federal government, Congress creates a Department of Education illegally. It is repugnant to the Constitution. Therefore, according to the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison, the act that created the DOE is void, but it's still there. So they take your money and they use it to give to these schools. And surprise, surprise, some schools don't do very well. So you have federal government creating a Department of Education illegally, taking your money to give to these schools, taking your money to make student loans, to back student loans, then looks at the school and says, hey, you're not doing a good job. There's misconduct. Do you file criminal charges? No, we're just going to pull your funding and then pay off all the loans that we illegally made for people to go to this school. I mean, this makes any Ponzi scheme ever done look like chicken feed. The federal government literally is creating the mess that they are using. They're using your money to create the mess, and then they're using more money, your money, to cover up the mess. They don't fix the mess. They simply cover it up. Right? Did they sue that school for misconduct to get the money back? No. Did they sue that school to return the tuition to the students? No. All they did was say, nope, you're gonna get the American taxpayer to pay off for the malfeasance of these schools and the malfeasance of the federal government. You don't do that in a free society where the rule of law matters. You do that in a dictatorship, in a tyranny. The tyranny where the federal government does whatever it darn well pleases, and the American people are expected to say, yes, sir, please, sir, may I have some more? Or another example, right? The Department of Justice is at it again. Biden's Department of Justice is now challenging Alabama's law. Now, Alabama passed a law that bans certain transgender procedures and substances for people under 18. Minors, very important, minors. Now, according to the Justice Department complaint, that law violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Excuse me, how does it do that? Did it say that these procedures were illegal, period? No. Did it say that they can't be used for by anyone? No, it said people under 18. Now, maybe there is a problem with this Alabama law, because the children are supposed to be overseen by the parents, not the state. But once again, you have a state that passes a law. Is it the people of the state that say, no, this is wrong and we need to fix it? No, it's the bureaucrats in Washington that have a political agenda that are using your taxpayer dollars to tell the people of Alabama what they can and cannot do, what they must and must not allow with their children, what the taxpayers of Alabama must pay for in some cases, or even just what procedures are allowed. These are the same, I can't come up with words with just how angry I am. The same people that said, when Florida said, listen, you cannot sexually indoctrinate children under the third grade, from kindergarten through third grade. They called it the Don't Say Gay Bill. They lied through their teeth. And now we look at the Alabama law. And they say, no, we don't like that. It's a political agenda. Your taxpayer dollars are being used to promote a political agenda and force states into compliance with that political agenda. And just to prove how stupid these people think you are, according to the complaint, or to a press release from the Department of Justice, the Alabama law, SB 184, makes it a felony for any person to engage in or cause specified types of medical care for transgender minors. SB 184 thus discriminates against transgender youth by denying them access to certain forms of medically necessary care. There is no transgender, medically necessary transgender care. There is no such thing. Your life is not in danger. Your health is not in danger. And for those of you, well, it's the mental health. Look at the studies. How many people are detransitioning? Even John Hopkins, the inventor of the sex change operation, that hospital stopped providing them because their studies found that people who transitioned weren't mentally any better. But no, they've certainly determined that the part that is medically necessary, it is not medically necessary. That is a bald-faced lie. This is nothing more than a political bureaucrats trying to use the power they have accumulated to enforce their will on the states. And it's about time the people in these states start waking up. I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret. The constitutions of most of our states recognize that all power is inherent in the people. The people created the states when they ratified the Constitution of the states. They set the boundaries of the, they created the government of the state. They set its boundaries. When the states ratified the U.S. Constitution, we created the federal government. We set its boundaries. The people through the states did that. The federal government does what we tell it can do, not the other way around. The states are not subjects of Washington, and neither are you. The 10th Amendment says that any power not delegated to the United States doesn't belong to them. It belongs either to the states or to the people. So when will the states stand up and say, you know what, federal government, we are tired of you acting like petty tyrants, acting as if we are your vassals, we are your subjects, we are your serfs. We created you, not the other way around. Now, it can't be one or two states. There's got to be a number of states. We should have at least a majority, better yet, two-thirds of the states that are willing to stand up to Washington and say, the 10th Amendment says you can't do that no more. We need a redeclaration of independence. I published it in Independence Day in 2021. I'm probably going to redo it again in 2022. We need the states to redeclare. We are not vassals of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. doesn't tell us what we can and cannot do. We tell you. The states told the federal government, listen, states have to have equal protection. There's no equal protection issue here. The states told the federal government that with the 14th Amendment. The people are not being discriminated, saying, well, you can't do this for black people or white people or Chinese people or Mexicans. It says you can't do it for boys, but you can do it for girls. There's not an equal protection issue here. These are minors. But if we the people don't understand our rights and our government and how we need to get our local governments and our state governments back on the constitutional track to rein in Washington, then we will continue to be ruled by idiots and bureaucrats out of that swamp. Now, I'm putting together my 2022 tour, and I'm specifically talking about this, the power the states have legally. I'm not talking about insurrection. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm talking about understanding the Constitution and how to apply it legally. Now, if you want to find out more, head to constitutionstudy.com/tour. I'm still putting the page together. I'm still putting the dates together. If you would like me to come talk to you, to your group, to speak at your event about understanding how the limits on the federal government and how the states can actually stand up and rein in this power and how it's your responsibility to make sure that happens, well, just go to that page, constitutionstudy.com/tour. Go to the bottom of the page. You'll see a form. Fill in that form, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll see if we can get you on the schedule. I'm already putting some dates in place. This is critical. It is critical if we wish to remain the land of the free. It's critical if you wish to still be able to exercise your rights. If you believe in self-government, if you believe that we the people create government, not the other way around, then it is critical that you learn this. And this is a wonderful opportunity. So again, head to constitutionstudy.com/tour to find out more about the tour and invite me to come speak to your event. This is going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm not sure. We may have been talking about things like right now it's primary season. So by the time I hit the tour, primary season will be done. But we may talk a bit about the primaries. But understanding your role as a citizen, your duty as a citizen is not simply to show up every couple of years and vote. Your duty as a citizen is not to simply register for a party and follow the party line. Your duty as a citizen is to oversee your employees, the people you hire to exercise your power in your name. If you refuse to do so, then you are complicit in what is happening. I know, it's scary. I don't know if I can study the Constitution. An 18th century farmer could understand it. I'm sure you can too. Well, I might get put on a list. You're already on a list. I might be hassled. What is your freedom worth? Ask the people in Ukraine how much they were willing to pay in order to be free. As the people in the Soviet Union or Communist China or who grew up in Cuba or Venezuela, what they would pay to keep their freedom. This is not a question of, oh, well, yeah, yeah, and then sit back and go away. Thomas Jefferson said, if you wish to be ignorant and free, you want what never was and never will be. So whether you join me on the tour or you listen to this podcast or the radio program, do me a favor, head to America Out Loud daily to get the news and information and share it. The articles, the videos, the podcast, share it all so we can all help spread the blessings of liberty for ourselves and for our posterity.
Hey, Bill, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends.